ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station,
which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show as Nick celebrates the fact that he got the clean version of my song that should actually put
so
it
worried.
All the way right now.
God, I got to get on the Spotify thing.
It's a great song.
Yeah, it really is. Who, this is your list?
Yeah.
Yeah, good job.
I start this hour.
This is
yeah.
the best song you have on the
I
list.
I prepped hard, man. I prepped hard. It took me all night to put this list together. So we've been basically NBA focused, which is kind of crazy after the finals and everything else. The draft is tomorrow night. Rumor out there, by the way, that Philly, before they traded up with Boston, offered number 3 and current roster players as well as possibly future picks for Paul George, and Indiana balked on it. I think that's because they were waiting on Sam Decker. I'm just saying.
Stir that pot, Joel. Stir
yeah,
that
I
pot.
I am. I'm done with like
it just
cuz like
Joel's going to beat this to death too. We'll be 3 years removed. We probably won't even be doing this show in 3 years. He'll be tweeting out, "Hey, how's that Sam Decker for Paul George trade going?"
Dude, I'm just having fun with it cuz it's the only way to try and like digest it.
I wouldn't let it go either. Don't worry. But I'd probably just be more salty on Twitter.
So if you saw Decker right now, what would be the first thing you tell him?
I said it to him already on Twitter. I was like, come on, bro. Really? I've always had your back. I've always said you're going to get better and better. But, you know, it's kind of narrow-minded to think that you would have been the centerpiece of a trade to get Paul George. You know, there's and realized if you had seen the whole conversation that realistically there were other teams with better offers out there. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a general manager, I'm weighing options, and you might be the 6th option compared to what other teams could offer, you know, because of the draft picks. And Abby's mom wants to always stir the pot with me, so that's why I was saying that. So lots of rumors, though, flying. I said this the other day, and I caught heat for it on Twitter, but literally, this makes up for, in a lot of ways, all of the bad basketball the playoffs brought this year. For all the lack of excitement in the playoffs, this has been great.
I mean,
I love it.
It's, I don't know if it makes up for it. It's just not enough.
I can see that.
I mean, there's like what three? There's been two or three trades.
Yeah, it's just better than.
It's something. I think right. is more than anything else. We're getting something. You know what I mean? It's and the Rockets are in the mix. It appears now.
Although so that some makes people it a little, live for this time, like they're just.
Oh yeah, well I mean yeah, you know. Like hardcore NBA guys do. But I think that at least we're getting something, and the fact that if the Rockets were standing pat and you know weren't looking at making any moves, then I think it would be a little more you know yawn inducing.
I think the bad part of this is you're in a way you're trying to keep up with the Joneses, but until the Joneses suffer an injury, you're playing for second.
Yeah,
and hoping for that injury.
Well, no doubt. I mean,
you know. That's because I don't know about you. I've been a transactions junkie since I've been a kid. I mean, every day I used to scour the sports section just to look at transactions because I love the trades and the intrigue of who's trading for who and teams that might get better once the season starts. And I love all that stuff. So I think it's great that the trade deadline heats up and makes it exciting to talk NBA and think about possibilities before you even get to free agency and teams start courting players.
Here's something I was looking at. I was looking at this. You mentioned that Paul and Griffin from the Clippers are both free agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Redick is also an unrestricted free agent, correct?
I don't know if he's unrestricted because they've been rumoring him in a trade deal to get Carmelo.
So I'm looking at something that's on ESPN that says that's got pretty much Jordan as they show his contract, but they show Paul. I can't see the other name over there. Griffin and Redick as they say Griffin and Paul are likely free agents, and then they list Redick as unrestricted free agent. So I would have to go and look at that. But I tell you what, how crazy would it be if you end up with two former Clippers on the team? Because Redick might not be a bad fit on this team either.
Not a bad fit, be a fantastic fit.
Yeah, and so it would seem kind of crazy, but if you thought about it, I mean, it would be essentially, if you pick up two former Clippers and put them on this team, whether it's Griffin and Redick or Paul and Redick or whatever, what you're essentially saying is, what would James Harden look like playing with the Clippers and forming a super team? Because you're almost doing that by going out and getting these guys.
I mean, look, I said this a while back that JJ would be a great fit here simply because of the style of play, because he's a dead-eye shooter, because he's killed the Rockets over the years, because he gives you energy and another option, especially early in games, but it takes heat off of Harden. But I've always said he would fit. I think Blake could fit. I'm a little bit less high on CP3 as most simply because of the fact that I don't like that there could be a ball fight between him and James a lot.
Yeah.
Looking at it, you're right. JJ is totally free.
Paul and Griffin have player options,
which I believe they're both going to pass on.
Right. And then 2018-2019 is DeAndre Jordan's player option.
And they got a lot of payroll, man, and not a lot of guys. So interesting there that the Clippers are kind of hanging by a thread. They're right there firmly on the fence, and if they can get those two guys back, and they believe Jerry West might be the architect of filling in the missing pieces now that they brought him into the fold, then you try and keep the band together. You go after a Carmelo. You go after other pieces. If one or both of those guys bolt, they may fold up their tents and go home and rely on the extra special shooting talents of Austin Rivers.
Ugh.
Yeah, how about that? I mean, I think then you might even see Doc, because he's already taken a lot of heat, that he might just decide to fold up his tent and go home, because he said he wants to coach a winning team. They might not be in a position to win for quite a while if they lose one or both those guys. Their only hope right now is keep it all together. Steve Ballmer's got enough money to where he might want to go over the cap anyway, and then try and make a trade for they've wanted and had their eye on Carmelo. But if it's not them and they can somehow get in the sweepstakes for Jimmy Butler or Paul George, it is L.A. You know, everybody is so fixated on Paul George saying he's going to be a Laker because they're going to have money next year. But, hey, it gets him back home, but it gets him on a team that isn't still in the middle of a rebuild like the Lakers. It puts him firmly in the middle of a team that has Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and then you could be talking about a super team.
Yeah.
Nobody's been considered. No one's thrown that out there. Consider that for 1 second. Paul George to the Clippers, if you can maintain having Blake Griffin and maybe DeAndre Jordan's part of a package, because the center is just not that important of a position as it once was. He's making $24 million a year. He could be the center of a sign and trade that gets you Paul George, that then gives you a more of a super team to compete
with
the Warriors.
But if you're Paul George, you want to go to the Lakers, right? Like, you want to be that guy.
You grew up with that mentality, but I think you want to win. And if you can have your cake and eat it too, you get the money and you can win now. I mean, look at what the Lakers have. They've got a whole bunch of potential. They're going to take the potential of Ball playing point guard. You know, if they have to give up Randall or Clarkson in part of a deal, trying to get Paul George in a trade now, as well as draft picks, you're only taking another step back. You know, Brandon Ingram's a guy that Magic has said is untouchable. But again, he weighs .05 right now. You know, he's got to put on weight. He's got to fill out. So Paul George is going to be waiting for a while for a lot of this young talent to kind of rise to the top. Whereas if the Clippers can pull off a move, he still gets to go back home. He still collects the big check, and he gets to play with Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, and others, where he's immediately in the thick of things as one of the best teams in the West.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at the Rockets on Hoops Hype. I was looking at their contracts. I'm not so sure Ryan Anderson is going. I can't believe that there's going to be a big market for Ryan Anderson.
See, that's what
Why
I said.
Would any team want to trade for this dude?
That's what I said when Calvin Watkins brought it up on this
show
the other day.
His contract is horrible for what he's putting up. He made 18.7 this year. He's going to make 19.5 next year.
Yes, sir.
20.5 the following year, and then the final year of his contract is he's making $21 million in 2019-2020. No one's wanting to trade for that dude. You owe him almost $60 million.
That's what I'm saying. When Watkins brought it up, you were saying maybe a contender needs a guy like Ryan Anderson too. I'm like, you got to find a way in a trade to come up with $20 million. Otherwise, you got to find a team willing to give up $20 million to just find a sniper.
A year?
Just for three-point shooting. And oh, by the way, about 2 rebounds a game. I mean, or whatever it was. It's not enough. So you got to find a trade partner or someone to dance with. Who wants to dance with that salary for Ryan Anderson?
And I'll tell you what, that percentage, that three-point shooting percentage that you brought up, boy, does it look deceiving. If you're Ryan Anderson and I'm a GM, I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
Who knew he could shoot 50% from three, but that means missing every shot at home and making shots on the road, but not getting that many. I mean, that's awful. Right now, I want to tell you guys, before we go any further, about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mack has long been the guy that I go to for furniture in this town because it's quality American-made furniture. It's built to last. It's great customer service. And they deliver it when they say they're going to. When you buy today, you get it tonight. It's all part of the plan at Gallery Furniture to make sure that you guys always know where to go when you need anything furniture-wise in your house. He's been in business for over 36 years in the Houston area, and now he's got 3 convenient locations. He's got the Galleria area location, Post Oak and Westheimer. He's got the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, and he's got the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where there's no back order slips, and if you buy today, you get it tonight. That's just how they do business at Gallery Furniture. And right now, if the Astros win it all, you can get free furniture. That means you go buy $3,000 or more worth of Gallery Furniture, and the Astros end up winning the whole thing. You get that furniture free. Go to galleryfurniture.com for details. Or like I said, stop by one of Gallery's 3 locations in the Houston area because I guarantee you folks, just like Mac guarantees he'll buy it, you buy today, you get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
That's a good song right there. That's quality.
Great song. It's a great album.
Welcome back to the show, Usual Suspects. Joel, Barry, Nick with you until 4. That's what, 45 minutes or so? We're going to give something away right now. I hope you're ready. I saw somebody on text asking if we were going to give away tickets to Mexico versus Ghana. So the answer, sir, is yes, and we're doing it right now. It's your chance to win 2 tickets to see the return of the Mexico national team to Houston. Mexico will face Ghana at NRG Stadium Wednesday, June 28th. So don't miss your chance to watch Mexico in this crucial matchup leading to this summer's Gold Cup. Tickets are still available. Log on to Ticketmaster.com and get yours today starting at just $30. Mexico versus Ghana. See you there. We'll take caller number 10, 713-780-3776. Win 2 tickets to Mexico versus Ghana if you are caller number 10.
That was smooth, man.
Shut up. I hope you screw yours up so bad. I hope you cuss.
Dude, I want you to talk about intern screening.
I hope you cuss during
yours.
It won't
be the first time.
He was making fun of me because I messed. I didn't really think I messed up.
No, it wasn't that bad.
But yeah, so I was determining what caller number we were going to use because yesterday we did 40. What did I do? 43 or something?
43 for the Rockets draft number.
Pick, yeah. Yeah. And so I was determining they also have the 45th pick. So I was thinking maybe today we do 45.
Intern Jack hasn't messed with you yet, though.
Jack is new.
Dude, he messed with the fashion police, I can tell you that.
Yeah, so I said, before I determine what number we'll use, I want to see what Jack looks like, because if he looks like an idiot, then we'll just pick a high number.
And but so I already knew, I was waiting for this, because I knew who he was.
So I got
he was
to
wearing.
See Jack. Jack's a tall cup of water, first of all. He is a tall
a solid,
glass
what,
of water.
6'2", probably 6'3", maybe?
I wouldn't say solid, but he is definitely 6'2". I don't know that he's solid. Because when you say solid, that would imply that he's muscular and
kind
beefy.
Of Drewish.
He's
like
not
baby
beefy.
Dwightish.
No, Dwight's the only dude in his 20s that still has baby fat.
But he's like, thick
he's
and
a
strong.
Big dude.
Yeah, he's a
not,
big dude.
Not in a fat
Drew
way.
Drew looks like he could play D line. Yes.
He's a dude. He's a big dude.
Yep, I agree.
No.
Yep,
dude.
I agree.
He's probably what? What do you say? 225?
Oh, I think he's more than that. I think he's more 250-ish.
You know fat can weigh as well, not muscle.
You're lucky he's in Mexico right now.
That doesn't worry me. You don't think I wouldn't say this to Drew's face?
Oh, yeah, you would.
He would. I totally
first
would.
Of all, that's not even a discussion.
But Drew's not muscular.
I think he is.
I think he's a lot stronger than you give him credit for.
I think go home tonight and punch a pillow on your couch, and that's what it would be like punching Drew in the gut.
No, it would not.
Same thing. It would just mush. It would just mush in. It would just, it'd be like punching a beanbag.
You don't like, but you don't Jack, like Jack bacon wrapped stuff?
Yeah.
He might have a little bacon wrap on him, but underneath the bacon, he's pretty damn strong.
Yeah.
I think you guys are overestimating.
We both thought he was limping, though, and that was like his normal walk.
Yeah. He just has a pimp walk, which is all right with me. But Jack comes in, and he's wearing a weird blue shirt with white shorts, which way to dress up for the job, Jack. Way to come in here wanting to be on radio, and then you wear shorts on your second day?
He seen John Granato set a very high standard.
Yeah, Granato's wearing flip-flops today.
Yep.
What are we doing?
Well, Granato wears an Astros belt, like a Houston Astros day. Belt.
True. It's like we're doing radio at a homeless shelter, coming in here in flip-flops.
But, so Jack's wearing a golf shirt with a Hawaiian print.
Yeah, Jack, but that wasn't the bad part. The egregious part of his outfit is that he wore some sort of loafer with dress socks.
Yep.
That's the part of the outfit where I'm really questioning Jack's fashion abilities.
He does kind of look like an easy target, so I think he's going to get picked on quite a bit.
But his decision-making at that point, like, I don't have a problem. That, you know, you're trying to be a little different, like the polka dot shirts and all that is kind of cool. But the dress socks pulled up to the calf with the rocking the brown leather slip-ons.
But at least it's color-coordinated. Jack. But he's got the blue Hawaiian kind of polka-dotted golf shirt, cargo shorts. Those aren't strings hanging out of his shorts. Those are actually his legs. And then he has matching blue striped dress socks with shorts that go up over the calf.
No, and to then, the calf, not over.
Well, at
over
least
would imply they hit the knee.
Mid-calf. No. Okay, they're mid-calf.
No, they're about.
They slide. There's not a lot of elastic left.
They don't hit the calf. They're just below it.
Okay.
Because anything higher, and then it would be a real issue.
My carpet cleaner taught me. Okay, you're right. And then he's wearing some, like, I'm not going to date him, but they're beat to hell boat shoes.
But I feel like Jack's a nice guy. He was very respectful. Look, there he is. You're a very respectful young man, Jack.
He's still
waiting
gonna
go
for
far
current
in this business.
Cuts to get him in the chair.
There's nothing wrong with his hair.
It's swoopy.
It's swoopy. Well, he's a vibrant young man. He's
aloha,
got flowing
young
locks.
Man. Aloha.
But Jack, do we get our 10th caller, Jack? We did? Fantastic. You did a great job. Good job. Next time, though, it'll be 45. I wouldn't do that to you. Jack's a good guy. I know a lot of people think I hate our interns.
You do.
Well, that's true. But I just didn't want them to think that.
Except
but
one.
Now I guess they're going to since you admitted it.
Yeah. There's only one you don't hate.
I don't hate the interns. That's the funny thing is they all think I hate them, and I really don't. Like, I wish those kids nothing but success. There's one that I kind of don't like.
I'm
this is where you try to guess.
Yeah, no, try to guess.
Wakbo.
Who the hell is Wakbo?
The guy that made his name Elbow or whatever. The guy that came in and came right at you.
He's fine. The one that called me Charlemagne?
Yeah.
No, he's all right.
He called him Wakbo. I was like, who are you talking about?
Yeah, I have no idea what that means.
I asked him because he was like, yeah, my name is El.
What, Elbow?
Sure, yeah, Elbow or something. I'm like, were you related to Wakbo?
Would that be
and
the
Fat
stupidest
Bo?
Nickname ever?
Yeah.
Elbow? Like Larry Boa? What's your nickname, Elbow?
That's right. That's a good call, by the way.
That's a stupid-ass nickname, Larry. Can we do some non-sports? I feel like we've been very sportsy today.
Sure.
I don't know that I want to talk this. I found this thing today. I was doing some joke writing, and I stumbled across this website. Yeah, it was the 50 laughable bad 50 Shades Darker quotes. So, you know, the movie 50 Shades of Grey in the book, and then there was 50 Shades Darker. Mm-hmm. And I think the writer of this is trying to be like really righty, which isn't a word, but he's trying to be like impress you with his ability to do quotes right out of the gate. The first one they list might be the dumbest one of all. It says desire pulls dark and deadly in my groin. That's a phrase from 50 Shades Darker. Desire pools up dark and deadly in my groin. That's some dumb.
Sounds like you crapped your pants.
Her eyes are brown like bourbon, but flat. What does that even mean?
I was like, what does that mean?
What does that even... And you can tell he's fascinated with the word desire, because here's another one. Desire explodes like the 4th of July throughout my body.
Oh, boy.
What does that mean? I gasp and his mouth swoops down. What? Is that a way to imply something?
I think so.
That's ridiculous. I don't know. There's a ton more. I'll have more. I'll sprinkle them in. You won't know when I'm saying them. I'll just sprinkle them in throughout the rest of the show.
I can't wait. Well, on that note, it's great to tell you about Houston Can's Cars for Kids program. It's a great program here in the Houston area because you as Houstonians are making it all possible for kids in the Houston area to get a second chance at an education. If you got a clunker laying around, it might be collecting dust and rust, and you've been meaning to get rid of it, and you just haven't gotten around to it. It could be a boat, an RV, a motorcycle, a truck, a car, a trailer. It doesn't matter. Even if it's not running, I've got the solution for you. You call the Houston Can Academies, 713-225-4226, or log on to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They do the rest. They come to you. They bring a tow truck. They do all the paperwork. They tow it away. They give you a great tax deduction. If you mention ESPN 97.5, you get a $50 gift card. And that's when the process really begins, because then they turn that vehicle into resources so that kids trying to get a second chance at an education have all the things they need that can otherwise be a distraction. They get book money. They get bus fare. They get eyeglasses. They get warm meals. They get the things that they need so that they can focus solely on the books. It is a great program, and it is great because you make it so by making your donation. So please, I urge you, if you have something, a vehicle that you want to get rid of and want to get give away, these guys are the guys to give it to. 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid. See the oil fields at first light,
see the birds of the leaving your mouth. ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Nick, Barry, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You know, I don't want you to be the only one. I don't want you to feel alone.
Okay.
And I love our listeners. So if you are a suspect, then you are in line to win some more because we are in a giving mood. The Sugarland Skeeters, the reigning champions, are back in town to take on the Long Island Ducks. And that is a good thing for you. This Friday, the Skeeters open up a homestand and host their series against the Long Island Ducks. You can win a four-pack of tickets to see the battle on the diamond at Constellation Field for Sunday's game, June 25th. First pitch, a night game, 7:05. Affordable family fun. You get there early Sunday fun day and the replica championship flag giveaway for the first 1,000 fans. You log on to SugarlandSkeeters.com to get your tickets now. But if you don't want to wait, if you want to wait before you buy them to see if you can win them, what? Well, this is what you can do right now. You can be caller number, Barry.
19
for the number of stripes on the socks that Captain Jack wore before his ship set sail. So if you're caller 19, you win a four-pack of tickets to Sunday's Skeeter game, 7:05 Constellation Field. And, of course, if you don't win them, you can always go to SugarlandSkeeters.com and buy them. It is fun for the whole family. It's a great stadium where everything's sweeter in Sugarland. So good luck. Caller number 19, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Four-pack of tickets, Sunday's Skeeters game against the Ducks.
Is that the right game, the Ducks?
That's what it says on the, you know, I'm just reading the copy you give me, man.
No, I figured you looked into it or checked, but I was going to.
Why in the world would I do that? Next hour, we're going to be giving away tickets to a movie premiere that happened last week. All right, so where do we pick up where we left off, Barry?
He has a hotline to my groin. That was a quote from the movie.
Sure?
Yeah.
Sure you weren't talking about a texter?
He has a hotline to my groin. What in
you sure
the
that
hell?
Wasn't a text?
No.
Okay.
It's definitely not a text.
All right.
The rest of them I'll just mix in to our conversation.
That's going to be so awkwardly weird that you're going to enjoy this. That's the worst part about this. Nick, you are not off limits either, because I guarantee you there's at least one coming your way.
I'm sure.
Oh, that was good.
I'm sure it's coming my way. I'm okay
How
with it.
How about you, baseball boy? You don't even want to talk about your Strohs.
I do. I'm
tried
waiting.
To bring it up earlier, and you trumped me with DeAndre Jordan.
You did.
I did?
Yeah.
You kind of brought it up.
Well, because I was curious about... I saw it on our list, and I didn't want to move away from basketball until we had a chance to bring it up. My bad. I didn't mean to trump you with that by any stretch. Oh, Nick tweeted his socks out. Okay, I got to retweet that.
That a boy, Nick. I'll get it, too.
Yeah. So here's something I saw. I don't remember what article this was, but they were talking about possible moves for the Astros.
Okay.
Because we all know that's a hot topic, right?
Sonny Gray can pitch, man.
Did you see my tweet last night?
I did.
I got a little salty on the Twitters last night.
Then AJ went back at you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't disagree with him.
At that point, you just need to run.
Oh, yeah, I was so scared.
Yeah.
No, but I said I'm glad this happened so we can all stop talking about Sonny Gray because I've not been a fan. And I don't know. I don't even know what AJ said. He said something to the effect of, oh, yeah, you're acting like Mike Fiers is right. A great pitcher or whatever. No, not at all. Mike Fiers is going to Mike Fiers. And somebody even said, oh, he's their best pitcher. Well, yeah, because everyone else is hurt. And he has pitched well. I think I heard somebody say he had like a 1-something ERA in over his last 3 or 4 starts. That's great. But he's going to regress to his mean. But I think once they go out and make this move, Mike Fiers, he might not even make the playoff roster. It won't surprise me if he doesn't make the playoff roster.
I got a kick out of the fact that then you had delusional Astros fan who believed that he was doing this because he knows he's going to be traded to the Astros, so he's helping out his future team.
Yeah, that's...
Seriously, people?
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Boy, that orange Kool-Aid tastes almost as good as that red.
As the red, yeah. No, that's not... But my thought was last night while I was watching the game, I was thinking about the rotation. And so you know it's Keuchel and McCullers. If they go out and get an arm, that'll probably be a number 3 or somewhere in the top 3, right?
Right.
McHugh's coming back. So you know he's going to be in the mix.
Charlie Morton.
You've got Charlie Morton as a 5. So Mike Fiers isn't even going to be in the top 5 in this rotation.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you look at the bullpen, you could keep him as a spot starter, but you have Martez, you have Feliz, you have Davinsky, you have Polino and Musgrove and Fiers. So all of those guys aren't sticking around because you still have to add your lefty. And right now it's Sip. If they don't go out and make a move for another, you know, lefty specialist, then you got Harris, Gregerson, and Giles. There's right. not enough spots on this playoff rotation for all those guys.
And keep in mind, AJ said if he had a full rotation of healthy pitchers, he might even knock one pitcher off that list to add another bat situationally or, you know, a switch hitter, a lefty, whatever. I mean, everybody also was barking and all upset because they sent Derek Fisher down. But Josh
well, that move made sense, though.
Of course it did. And that, I'm sure they told them before they even made the move, look, this is only for a short period of time, but it gives you a chance to get a dose of what it's like to play in the big leagues. He did the most that he could with it. He hit 2 bombs, but as you said, you know, there were still issues that a young guy's going to go through in terms of, you know, being selective at the plate, you know, doing some things to make sure you can take a walk. But look, no knock on Derek Fisher. He did his job.
Yeah.
But overall, because of experience, ability, people forget, Reddick had a streak of being on base in, I forget how many straight games. It was something like 9, 10, 11 games. He was playing good baseball, and he's a proven veteran that you paid a lot of money for. It's just not Derek Fisher's time yet. People on Twitter have to just relax a little bit.
Yeah, I know everyone likes Derek Fisher, but I wonder if it's just lust at first sight for them. You know what I mean?
You'll like him in a Pirates uniform.
What?
You'll like him in a Pirates uniform when he's part of a deal.
Yeah, then he gets
get
traded.
Derek Cole, and you'll be fine.
Wow. I don't know. The other thing, I was seeing some things about, you know, trades and so forth, and I started thinking about this. You have to look at, when you're looking at trades, right? You have to look at teams that are in it and out of it. And Trey brought up a guy from the Dodgers, and I'm like, there's no way the Dodgers make a move there. They're in the thick of things. There's only a few teams that are pretty much out of it. And the way I figured them to be out of it was if they're at least 10 games out of the playoff hunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you go by just that logic, if you're 10 games out right now, it's going to be really difficult for these teams to get back. You're talking about everyone in the West. So the Angels, the Rangers, the Mariners, and the Athletics. They're all at least 12 games out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those guys aren't going to want to help you because you're a division rival. But they might be willing. But you're never going to get Yu Darvish from the Rangers. They're just not going to do that, right? The A's might give you Sonny Gray. They may do that. But so you're going to have to probably look elsewhere to get a top, a frontline starter. So if you use my logic of at least 10 games out, you've got the Braves, the Marlins, the Mets, and the Phillies, and then the Padres and the Giants. One name that I saw that I don't want to cause false hope here, but he's coming back from an injury, and he will be coming back. But as far out as the Giants are, somebody said that you might see Mad Bum on the trading blocks.
Ooh,
boy. I don't
know what the price would be, but
I don't think that would ever happen because I think the Giants feel like they're in it year to year. You know what I mean?
Right.
But that's something that as far – they're a bad team this year.
Yeah, they're awful.
The Giants are god-awful. I'd move whatever they wanted to get that dude in the rotation.
They want some youth to build up the – by all means, that guy goes to
but
the
I don't
front
want
of the
to
class.
Be, yeah, but I mean, I saw that and it was I kind of respected the guy that wrote it. I have to go back and look because I've read stuff of his before. I doubt that's going to happen. I mean, just in the same way that I saw Matt Adams might be on the trading block and a good fit for Houston at first base, they don't need to do that anymore. No. You know what I mean? Matt Adams replaced Freddie Freeman. They talked about Freddie Freeman maybe even moving to third in Atlanta so Matt Adams can continue to play first base because he's played so well since Freddie Freeman went down with the injury.
Right.
But I don't think that the Astros need to go out and make a move in that regard. Like, no, I think Gurriel, you can't have all-stars at every position.
But there was another first baseman they threw out, too. I'm like, look, they got enough with Gurriel and Marwin platooning to get by at first base. Now it's like you're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. It's not like it used to be where you're trying to find a guy. Now you have multiples that can fill that role.
But this is why I say though, be careful what you hear about, you know, trades and so forth, because you got to remember that some of these teams have to be out of it. Like Gerrit Cole would be great, but I think the Pirates are only like four out in their division. The Pirates aren't giving up yet.
Nope.
So the chances of getting Gerrit Cole or some of these other names, like even I don't even think the Phillies are out of it at this point. So
and still, it's not even the halfway point for people to think they're out of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But a lot of these teams aren't going to give up and just trade right now.
I'll tell you this, the Astros would be willing to
throw. Oh, the Phillies are out. They're 20 out. My bad.
The Astros would be willing to throw in your boy, Jandel Gustav.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah. Tommy John surgery today.
Braves, Marlins, Mets, and Phillies are all at least 10 out. And then the Padres and Giants. So, yeah, the Phillies are out of them.
So Gustav has Tommy John surgery today after making the opening day roster for the Astros. So he's done for the year and maybe more. But
got the right guy in his place, though.
Yeah, no question about it. Boy. And like you said, they've got a ton of pitching on their roster right now and in the AAA system that can be had for the right guy. And hopefully they find the right guy. But again, regardless of any of that, they keep rolling on the road. Impressive 25-8 road record.
I know we got to go. I just want to see them starting to beat some of these playoff teams. That's my only concern.
I got the Yankees coming in.
Well.
And they did handle them in New York.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break and then wrap it up before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. This is The Usual Suspects. We are ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One second to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ, and the gang waiting to step in next. You did get us on the last segment.
I did.
You did slide in another 50 Shades of Barry.
Yeah, I did. I'm too smooth for you guys.
I'm not going to say that ever.
Huh?
I'm not going to say that.
Well, this is no time to be having a brain-to-mouth filter malfunction, Joel.
Why don't you try Nick now? I'm on to you.
Yeah, I tried to find some that weren't like overtly sexual to mix in, but some of these are just stupid. What a dumbass movie.
You didn't watch 50 Shades of Grey?
No, and I will never watch it. Even if it's one of those movies where my wife's like, will you sit down and watch this with me? My answer would be, no, you don't watch porn with me, so I'm not watching this with you.
Laminac, I had a dream that you and I watched 50 Shades together. God,
I want to murder you right
that
now. My anxiety level has shot up several magnitudes on the Richter scale. That was another one.
I'm getting that down to a science.
You are getting it pretty good. Name. You are nailing it pretty good. I'm not going to lie.
By the way, he did text me as well as calling you, Nick, and said, tell Nick to put me on with you guys because it would be fun. And for your guys' benefit, I put the phone down.
Thank you.
To aggravate Barry, I wouldn't mind doing it.
Like I said, I'll leave the studio. Well,
you know where to go.
Last 5 minutes. Should we call him live right now?
I'll walk out. That's fine with me.
It's nap time, Nick.
If you want to do that. By the way, I found the article that was talking about Bumgarner. It was Joe Fernandez, writer for House of Houston on Fansided, and he discussed the fact that the sellers in the National League consist of two teams, the Padres and the Giants. Now, there's more than that.
Right.
The Phillies are sellers, like I said.
The A's are the worst team in the American League, but
he said the Astros don't want an unsure thing, but an interesting thought would be to see how Bumgarner recovers. He's due back right around the All-Star game of July 10th and see where the Giants stand on their future come trade deadline. And then he talked about the Giants currently are underneath mammoth contracts between Smarja and Cueto, and that money's looking like it was ill-spent based on the seasons they're having. Bumgarner's under contract for a team-friendly $12 million a year over the next 2 years before hitting free agency in 2019. So they might want to get something for him if they don't plan on re-signing him, is I think what his point is.
Plus, you got they talk DH about Buster Posey.
Yeah, they talk about Buster Posey. What?
You got a DH on off day.
Yeah, that's true.
The way he was hitting before he got hurt.
Dude can mash.
Man.
So I think it's highly unlikely. I think they end up just getting rid of like Cueto or Smarja or something like that before they get rid of Bumgarner. I mean, he's legit, but wouldn't that be crazy? Boy, a guy can dream, can he?
Yeah, no doubt. Boy, I'll tell you what, that one, my eyes lit up. I'm like, okay.
If I'm Jeff Luhnow, I'm calling being like, are you sure you guys want to hang on to him? Please.
Yeah, because I'm like, I get. You know, before the season it was Quintana, and now it's Cole, and it's, you know,
that's a whole other level.
But holy moly.
Never say never, though. You know what I mean? And maybe not even this year, but never say never. I mean, when you look at the Astros when they went out and got Randy Johnson.
What's Verlander? What's his contract like?
I think he has 1 year left. Let me look.
Because his stuff is still pretty lively. But again, the Tigers are not out of it.
So. Also, yeah, that too. He signed an extension, but I don't know when it was. I'll see if I can find it. But okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean to.
No, it's all right. It's all good. Here's his Sports Track. It's a good website, too, if you're ever looking for it. Yeah, he signed through 2020, it looks like.
Okay.
And that final year, I think, would be.
Is it reasonable?
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad for what. Well, he is getting a little long in the tooth, but he can still pitch. But it's 28 this year. Well, it's 28 for the next 3 years each year. And then 22 in the last year of the contract.
Maybe not reasonable.
And it's vested in that last year of the contract if he's a top five Cy Young in 2019.
Yeah, see, I think from a Crane perspective, I think they're not looking to go.
Close to $30 million a year.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So. I think they're going to avoid that. So the Stros back at it again tonight. Excuse me. In their home away from home.
Yeah.
In Oakland. What do they win, like 9 in a row there?
They love playing those guys, don't they?
Yeah, they've won like 9 in a row in Oakland.
Fires pitching.
You're fired up about that.
Redemption time. Fires and then Paulino in the last two to close it out.
Let's be honest. His last couple starts have not been bad.
I can't say that they have. Like I said, I heard something to the effect of he's had a 1.4 or 1.7 ERA over his last four or five starts. Earned run-wise, he had that stretch where he gave up 5, 3, and 4. Since then, in his games, he's gone. The only short outing he had was against Detroit. He gave up 3. But since then, he's gone at least 5 innings. He's given up 1, 2, 2, 0, and 1. His last two outings, 14.1 innings, 1 earned run total. You can't hate on a guy that's doing that. He's dropped his ERA from 5.75 to 4. And that's tough to do. ERAs just don't tumble like that. You've got to go out and have some good outings. But again, like a lot of these guys, like Jake Marisnik and some of these other cats, I think he'll regress to the mean. He is what he is. I mean, he's a lifetime 4 ERA guy.
Yeah, I mean,
it's about where he's at now. That's what he's going to be.
He'll end up being what he always is. So we'll see. But hopefully the Astros keep rolling on the road. They obviously have a big lead in the division. And we'll keep you up to date. Hey, tomorrow, big day leading into NBA draft day. Hopefully that they'll, between then and now, or between now and then, there'll be some more hot trade talks.
I was going to say, do you think the Rockets make a move before the draft?
Yes, I do.
You think so? You think it'll get done?
I think they will do something before the draft.
You think it'll happen?
I think so, just from the way Joel, you've been around the team long enough. You know when they pull the trigger on these things.
Don't get me excited and then nothing happened. I'm going to be pissed.
Could happen. That's where you should insert your shades of gray line.
Maybe that was one of them.
Okay. But look, they know, first of all, I'm tired of him hearing about him having something up his sleeve. But he loves this stuff around draft time. He's always made a deal around draft day as well as trade deadline. He likes these kind of things. And there's guys to be out there. I just think it's funny when people say, hey, the Pacers said that they've had discussions with the Rockets. You don't think every team in the league called just to gauge what it would take? They've had discussions with everybody.
Yeah.
But don't try and fluff your own grape sack by saying, hey, guess what? We had discussions with the Pacers. Oh, you're the man. You ain't getting him. All right, but I do think they'll do some before the draft.
Good.
Fred and AJ are coming up next. Nick, Barry, and myself will be back tomorrow. The Usual Suspects every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4, right here, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.